Faith Kemmler, and I'm the Director of Children's and Family Ministries here at Westminster.
And we didn't intro this last time, but we've decided to sort of divide and conquer on these and each take a week to do a little research and background and figure out what we want to say and talk about. And so last week you heard my voice a lot about Genesis 3, but this week I'm handing it off to Faith so I can learn some about the canon and get a refresher as to what's in the Bible and why it's there. So I'm gonna let Faith run with this, and I might interject some to ask questions or make my own little commentary, but go for it, Faith.
Great. So this week we are kind of looking at an overview of the canon of the Bible. And so we'll start with, like, what does that even mean? If you've heard this word canon before, or this might be the first time you're hearing it, canon is essentially the word we use when we're talking about the books and the order of the books in Scripture. And it has gained, like, use in more pop culture stuff now, where, like, if you're talking about a TV series or a show or whatever, you're like, oh, is that canon? And kind of like, is that true? Is that true to the original source text? Mm-hmm. And so we talk about biblical canon, we're talking about the books, the order, and all of that. And so we call the Bible a book, but really it's better to think about the Bible as a library of books, because that is what it is. And we know, like, it's made up of different books, and we talk about reading from different books. And it's not just like a book of books, but it's a library of books because it has multiple genres represented in it as well. And so over the next couple of weeks, after we do this overview, we're going to look closer at those different genres and talk about them and what they mean and all of that. But before we go there, we want to look at, like, how do they all fit together? How did it come to be that these are our books that we call the Bible and that we call scripture and we call canon as well?
Yeah, I think it's also important to imagine, or, like, remember it historically, that the printing press didn't exist until long after the Bible came together. And so, like, these were literally kept on scrolls that were copied by scribes and passed around to different places once there were, especially after the temple was destroyed, like, it got passed and distributed literally through scrolls that were rolled up. So, like, there's a point where Jesus goes and is speaking at synagogue, and he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah. And so these were kept, like, the scribes in scripture were people who kept track of these different books and were able to read, copy, and understand them. And so you'll get notes sometimes in study Bibles of, like, this is a later addition to a manuscript, or this comes from this manuscript, while this part comes from a different manuscript. And so even the canon itself is sort of pieced together through these different sources we have, and, like, scrolls can disintegrate, they don't last forever. And so this has been something that's been, like, very, I don't know, like, very analog, very physically handed down over generations.
Yeah. And scrolls are a great place to start. So we can start looking at the Old Testament canon. And we have really the Jewish canon and the Christian canon, which have a lot of similarities but also differences. And one of the main difference is the order and the way it's split up. And the Jewish canon, they is also referred to as the Tanakh, because it was split into three scrolls. And so there was the Torah, which is instruction. I'm going to mess up because I haven't. Nerevim, thank you. Which is the prophets, and then Ketuvim, the writings. And so that's how the Jewish canon is split up into the Tanakh. And it has the same, like, content that we have, but they divide the books differently. And so when you look, like, the numbers of books are different, but, like, Kings is combined and Chronicles is combined, whereas we have 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And then the ordering is just a little different than our ordering is. But this canon is believed to have come together a couple of centuries before Jesus came to be. Like, the last century before then, like the 2nd, 3rd century BCE. And so Jesus would have been reading this. It wouldn't have really been contested of what makes up the Hebrew scriptures that they were reading at the time that we now call the Old Testament. And one of the, like, things we have to back this up a little is we'd see Jesus, hear Jesus in the New Testament, like, and the arguments that he has with the Jewish leaders. And in none of those arguments do we see arguments over scripture or the canon or anything like that in the discussions they have.
It's all, like, interpretation and which rabbi's interpretation you're going with. Which, in Judaism, there's also, like, the Talmud and there's the Midrash. And Midrash was, like, different. I mean, if we're gonna do, like, canon for like, fictional pieces of what's canon for, you know, whatever series, there's then, like, fan fiction written about it, and, like, Midrash was the commentary on the canon of, like, and Jesus was asked, I mean, about, like, divorce, which rabbi do you agree with on this, about, like, retribution, who do you agree with on this, but, yeah, the actual, like, text of what was in the, you know, in the Torah was not contested at that point. But it is, like, super late. Like, compared to when we think about, like, when King David was reigning, the scriptures were put together as a, you know, this is the Hebrew Bible, this is what we read in temple, so much later. And, I mean, for that matter, like, with David, the temple didn't exist. He was writing some of the Psalms. But it just, the timeline kind of blows my mind sometimes with, like, how many stories were passed down just through telling them or through, like, writing them, but not in any, like, official manner of saying that this is the right one. Like, there was just, I don't know, there's so many threads to bring together at some point in history for that to then become, like, this is the thing that we see as authoritative.
Yeah. And over, like, all of this time, not just, like, in the time that it took for the Hebrew scriptures to come together, but, like, even now, here we are thousands of years later, and all the time that it took for this to come together, too. The New Testament came together quicker, a little bit faster, and it's estimated that all of the books in the New Testament were written within about 40 years of each other, too, and so they weren't written over such a long period of time as the Old Testament was, but also they captured a shorter, like, period of history, too. And what we get in the New Testament is, like, first-hand accounts of people who were close to Jesus. And that's kind of, like, a bit of a barometer for how does this fit into the New Testament. Was this written by or associated with someone who was close to Jesus and would have been that first or second generation of around in those times? And by the mid-second century, those all sort of came together and, like, this is the standard canon. And then I think the councils were in, like, what, the fourth?
Oh, don't church history.
Okay, no, I'm not going to church history. I have the numbers. I brought my computer today because I have a bunch of tabs put open with all of this on it. Because I know, mean, you guys want the numbers.
I think the 300s is when councils started happening.
Yes. So there were these councils that started happening, and often people will say, oh, well, in the councils, that's when the canon was put together. And it wasn't that the New Testament canon was put together as much as it was just affirmed of, like, yes, what we have been using is what we agree to continue using. And so out of these councils, we get this affirmation of, like, we think we're on the right track. We're going to keep using this and doing this. And it becomes what we know as the New Testament now.
And there were some books that were contested and, like, fights that happened, or that, like, Revelation is one that's usually, I don't know, like, I think if I remember correctly, the most contested one that made it into scripture. And then there are ones, like, in the 200s, this theology of Gnosticism became really popular, which was sort of viewing Jesus as saving the spiritual part of humanity, but, like, not the material, and that the material world was something to reject and was evil and what God was fighting against. And, like, if we read our scriptures and gospel, that is absolutely not in there, but that was an argument, and there were some gospels, I'm putting quotes around that, that were written a lot later, that claimed to be written by people like Mary Magdalene or, like, the disciple Thomas, but were written, like, way after those people would have died. And there were fights around that as well. And later on, like, once you get to the Protestant Reformation, like, people like Martin Luther think about changing the canon again, which sort of happens because we get the Apocrypha kind of gets pulled out, which is some of the books of the Old Testament that have always been in, like, Judaism too, sort of on the edge of, like, authoritative, that they're good for teaching and maybe learning something about God. Like the story of Hanukkah is in the Apocrypha, not in the Old Testament. But Protestant Reformation kind of just pulls that out as, like, they're not really authoritative books. But Martin Luther was like, you know what else might not be authoritative? James. Because I don't really like what James is saying. Which, probably not fair to Martin Luther. I'm sure he had a much more thoughtful way to put that. But James went kind of pushed against his theology of being fully justified just by faith and not by what we do and by works. Because James was like, faith without works is dead. And I'm really grateful that we've kept all of that intact. But these fights, like, they simmered down, but we've always had, I don't know, within Christianity, we've always had this spark of, like, no, but what really should be the thing that speaks into our lives? It's been something to be debated, mm-hmm. not just completely accepted, which I really like about our faith.
Yeah, and it made me think, like, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about comparing the two creation stories, like, what would we be missing if we didn't have a piece of it? And so if we let Luther take James out, like, what would be missing? And that it adds to this, like, diversity of what we have as a part of our faith and our scriptural tradition, mm-hmm. too. Yeah. And so that, like, what would we have if any of it were missing, is a good question to wonder about. When you're thinking about, like, how did this make it here? How did this not? Or if you're reading something and you're like, this really doesn't feel right to me. Like, I don't understand why this is in the Bible, which happens very much. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there to wrestle with. So we'd have, what would we have if we're missing? And then, like, what questions too of why hasn't this changed at all since it's been put together? Or why are there so many, like, different ways to look at it? Which, if you go back to season one, we did talk about translations and probably touched on that a little bit. And you, the other question that people ask a lot too is, like, well, is this in order? Is it in order? Yeah. And usually what they mean is it in chronological order? Because if you ask me, yeah, it's in canonical order. Like, we decided on this order for a reason. But there have been attempts made at, like, putting together a chronological, you can get the chronological quote-unquote, like, Bible to, like, quote-unquote read the story in the actual timed order that it happened. I think in a way, like, while it may be an interesting way to look at it, in a way, it pulls away from this idea of genre that we have, because we know that while there's this overarching, like, capital S story that we get from the whole picture of scripture, the genres exist to, like, enhance one another, but also be separate from each other and not all be this, like we talked about in the creation stories, like, this real actual happened in this way truth, but this big picture truth that we get from it. And so there's a lot of debate about, like, specific genres kind of, and where the lines are, like, everybody has a different title for the different genres or a different way to break it up. Even when Bentley and I were, like, breaking up, we're like, what about this? What about this? What about this? And so what we have kind of settled on for the next, like, series that we're going to do are these genres that we're going to break it into. So we've got wisdom, prophecy, apocalypse, gospels, and epistles. And so some of those genres
And we're kind of skipping history.
Yes.
Just to say, like, there is... Oh, and we're... No, I guess that might go into wisdom. You could do, like, a whole thing about poetry and scripture,
too. Yeah, poetry,
too.
Psalms.
But yeah, we're kind of focusing in on the ones that I think there's the most question about, or, like, the assumption around what that genre means, I think, needs a little bit of nuance.
Yes. And some of these genres exist in both Testaments, and some, like, obviously the Gospels are just going to be in the New Testament. But all of those, like, work together to help us see this picture of God and this picture of what faith has looked like over history. Not in the actual, like, this happened exactly as this said, but, like, the way that people felt and experienced and interpreted the presence of God in their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's how we ended up with this canon. But it's now been 2,000 years since Jesus was here, And if we settled sort of on this New Testament canon in like the mid 300s, what's happened in the last 1700 years that nothing about this has changed?
Oh, am I answering that?
Yes, I'm throwing it to you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big reasons why the canon has closed is that the earlier church, like up until, you know, 200s, 300s, really put an emphasis on the apostolic succession and like making sure that there was a relational connection to those who actually walked with Jesus, or in Paul's case, to those who had this transformational experience with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul is kind of in his own category of that, but still, Paul had to like come before Peter and Barnabas and like the whole council in Jerusalem. And so there's this like emphasis on an actual relational tie, not just a like abstract theology of who God is, or like people taking this story and then kind of adding their experience to it. That's important in the church, and we talk about like testimony is a word that comes up in our like church circles, and witness, and being able to do like our little minute for missions, and being able to talk about the ways that God is still at work. But for the actual like authority of scripture, that the Spirit has done something very specific in speaking through these people and these communities at this time that were connected to the embodied reality of who Jesus was when he walked the earth and his teachings. And so that's where things close for. I know we get like some different kind of spin-offs of Christianity in religion, of like the Mormon church comes with their own sort of testament, and I think Latter-day Saints too, but for those of us who are within the Protestant and Catholic traditions, it's been closed for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that God is not still speaking. I mean, we believe that at the very least every Sunday we're coming together trying to take from what we have been handed down by the apostles and by this tradition, and then asking the Spirit to speak in a new way to us. But what I write in my sermons isn't going to make it into the canon, and I think that's actually a really good thing. Does that answer? I mean, like, that's the big reason. I think, too, like, I don't know. I think that there was a consolidation of what Christianity meant that happened once Christians got more power. And so there's a side of this that's very, I think, theologically thoughtful and faithful, and then there's a part of this that is like a political reality that also happened that is not always as faithful and thoughtful. And that was like, once Christianity became not only a religion that was allowed, but a religion that gained power and might and began to like be spread through conquering, you sort of needed a consolidated and like singular way to talk about what this is and what you must believe if you're going to be a person under it. And so like that then really backfired, because now we've like redispersed where we have 1,000 different denominations. But I do think that was part of it too, like Christianity became established and like needed a structure in order to be able to spread, you know, a story that was like coherent about who Jesus is. But part of it too was that politicians wanted to use it to wield power over others. And so our story, I mean, like the Christian story in church history is a very mixed bag of faithfulness and also really trying to cling to worldly power.
Yeah. And even though the canon has remained the same, it doesn't mean we're not still writing and sharing writings. And like, especially we look at all the denominations, like we have our own creeds and confessions and writings and all of that, and they're not scripture, but they're still important to us too. They're just not on the same level of scripture.
And that has been a part of what the people of God do in interpreting who God is since the early days of those scribes and the scrolls and manuscripts that got passed around. And so we get to continue that when anytime we have a Bible study, anytime we stand up to recite a creed, anytime we're preaching sermons or listening to them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. wise words from Bentley, who next week is going to walk us through wisdom literature.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be fun. I forgot that's the one that we're doing next. Yeah, that'll be fun. So please stay tuned. If, I don't know, if you have thoughts, questions, send them to us. We'd love to be able to do like a listener mail at yes, some point please. On this. That'd be fun. So yeah, I think that's all we got for this week. And we're at like 20 minutes. So I think that's perfect. I hope you enjoyed your commute or watching.